I call the Agriculture, Finance, and Policy Committee meeting to order on March 30th, 2023. There is a quorum present. We'll start with the approval of minutes. Representative Sansomira, can I have a motion?
Yes, I move the minutes from March 28th.
Representative Sansomira moves the approval minutes for March 28, 2023. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say no. The motion prevails and the minutes for the March 28, 2023 are approved. We have the House File 2278 as amended back for consideration. Members, we're still taking testimony from the public. And so we'll go through testifiers first and then we'll go through the amendments and have discussion those amendments into the bill. With that, we'll start with our first testifier, Julie Tesh from Center of Rural Policy and Development. Thank you for being here. If you can identify yourself before the committee and proceed.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Julie Tesh. Thank you for allowing us to testify today. I'm not going to take much of your time. I know your targets weren't wonderful in this committee, and so when you're looking at, hopefully, with some targets changing, just thinking about the Center for Rural Policy and Development, we do work on rural development, and I think we do great work, and so I just want to remind you, keep us in mind. We do great work, I think, with the Department of Agriculture, and we do also receive funding from the jobs committee, but again, that's up in the air as well. So just wanted to keep the Center for Rural Policy and Development top of mind. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Tesh, for your testimony. The next testifier we have is Lori Cox from Roots Return Farm. If you can please identify yourself for the record and proceed.
Good afternoon, and thank you, Chair, and thank you, members of the committee. I'm Lori Cox. I'm the owner and operator of Roots Return Heritage Farm in Carver. I'm an advisory board member of Minnesota Ag Water Quality Certification Program, my local county water management organization, Minnesota Institute for Sustainable Ag, and Minnesota Ag in the Classroom. Our small farm produces fruits, vegetables, and herbs without synthetic chemical use for the public. We utilize continual no-till cover crop rotations and organic methods for soil health, plant nutrients, and environment. This season, we're leasing our farm, and we're in a partnership to have more folks on our farm. The widespread use of treated seed coatings and other systemic pesticides continues to run risks for farms like mine and the rest of the environment around me. Farms flourish throughout your district and mine when domestic and natural pollinators provide healthy crops for our customers and Minnesota's economy. Distinct portions of the ag sector might deem this production less important, but this is untrue, as we need all of Minnesota's agriculture to succeed. This can occur through beneficial precautions and notifications from soil to fork. We continually map degraded areas. We have tolls taken on communities through rural and urban areas alike. And neonics repeatedly supply studies showing persistence in off-target ag fields, natural areas, wildlife pollinators, plants, foods, our water, and we need actions to improve this. I would want you to please urge to support all of pollinators. I want you to please support these bills and make sure that we help all of agriculture in Minnesota. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lori Cox. Are there any other testifiers that would like to testify on the bill? If you can please identify yourself for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. My name is Chris Collin, a contract lobbyist with the Pesticide Action Network. The pages were kind enough to hand out the letter that we wrote, and I just wanted to refer to it, and that we have it there. And to make you aware of it, that that yes, we support the many provisions in the bill. We did have some concerns, as we outlined here, but we look forward to working with everyone going forward in the process. So thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Are there any other testifiers? Seeing none, we'll move to the bill, and our first amendment is the A12. This is the author's amendment. What it does, there's a couple provisions in there. It increased the carve-out for elk, and I moved the A12 before the committee. What it does, it increases the carve-out for elk damage prevention grants from $20,000 to $40,000 per year. It increased international trade item to the governor's requested level. It deleted the systematic pesticide treated seed proposal requirement, instead require MDA to develop a systematic pesticide treated seed program, establish definitions, and prohibit certain disposal methods for treated seed, create a dedicated research account, and direct MDA to regulate treated seed similar to pesticides under the pesticide control law. The funding remains the same of $100,000 one time. And this is also the department's language as well. It also gives MDA authority to use up to 6.5% for appropriations for administrations. We move the hemp processing grants under Agri. We also delay the repeal of the grain buyer and grain warehouse operator bonding requirements until July 1st, 2024. And required that MDA reconvene the grant advisory group and to report on bonding recommendations by February 1st, 2024. We also delayed the PFAS pesticide ban until July 1st, 2024. And we also make various technical edits to adjust totals and specify base amounts. So that is the author's amendment for the A12. Any discussion to the A12? Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Looking at the amendment on page 5, the section pertaining to the pesticide-treated research account, it doesn't have an amount of funding established. It just says money in the account will go to the commissioner. Is there a dollar amount that's going to go into that program?
Representative Anderson, right now it's currently blank appropriation. The line item for this specific bill is $100,000, and that was during the walkthrough, and it's one time. It can change as we continue to have more conversations, but that's the amount right now. Other questions? All right. Seeing none, all those in favor of adopting the A12 amendment say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say no.
No.
The motion prevails. The A12 amendment is adopted. Members will also switch gears to go through the rest of the amendments. So Vice Chair Purcell and I will switch.
Okay, Representative Vang, there is an amendment before us, the A3 amendment. I believe Representative Anderson, would you like to move the A3 amendment?
Madam Chair, actually, that's Representative Harder's amendment.
Oh, okay. Representative Harder, would you like to move the A3 amendment?
Yes, thank you, Chair Purcell. I'd like to move the A3, and I will ask a roll call, please.
Great, a roll call being requested. And please introduce the amendment, Representative Harder.
Thank you, Chair Purcell. My amendment addresses, it's on page 41 of the bill, and I am requesting to delete the two words or inert in that one. And there are a few reasons why I'm requesting that. One of them is that this is going to be fairly expensive. So if you look at your DE1 on page, let me get to it, page 4, 4.28, this will cost taxpayers $1.68 million in the 24-25 biennium. It also gives the Department of Agriculture an impossible task, and it's going to be growing the bureaucracy by adding roughly four FTEs. And I'm getting that information from
the nonpartisan report, which is dated 2/16. And you're basically going to be canceling the effective pest management tools used not only by farmers, but also in non-agricultural uses, resulting perhaps in lower yields and less productivity. And you will basically create an unintended consequence as people turn to other methods that might have a greater negative impact on the environment. And to further the reason why that should be deleted is I'm going to take from the fiscal report and I'm going to read to the committee what our nonpartisan staff had to say about that. So bear with me, it's a little bit long. Okay, pesticides contain active ingredients and inert ingredients. Active ingredients are the chemicals that control the target pest, while inert ingredients are included in the pesticide but do not act directly to control the pest. We are assuming that the other intentionally added substance, as written in this bill, would include active ingredients. Currently, Minnesota pesticide registrations require the disclosure of active ingredients in pesticide products and the total percentage of all inert ingredients, but not what the inert ingredients are. So at this time, MDA is unable to determine the exact number of pesticide active ingredients that would be considered a PFAS substance. Determining the exact number would require reviewing the chemical structure of all registered active ingredients, approximately 970, and inert ingredients used in Minnesota to estimate an approximate number of active ingredients that may be considered PFAS substance and prohibited by this bill. We compared a list of active ingredients registered in Minnesota to a database of fluorinated agrochemicals generated by Agarwa et al. In 2020 and reviewed the structures of registered fluorinated active ingredients. Of the approximately 970 active ingredients registered for use in Minnesota, about 85 would be considered a PFAS substance used based on the definition in Minnesota Statute 325F.1 or .072. These 85 active ingredients are used in approximately 2,050 different pesticide products that would be canceled if this bill is passed. However, if the EPA's definition is used, less than 5 active ingredients, approximately 10 products, registered in Minnesota would be considered PFAS substance. Currently, MDA is unable to determine how many products contain PFAS substance as an inert ingredient. There are over 5,000 inert ingredients that are approved by the EPA for use in pesticides. The EPA has said there are no inert ingredients in registered products that would be considered PFAS under their working condition. However, it is not clear how many inert ingredients would be considered PFAS substance under Minnesota Statute 325F.072 definition. Given that pesticide registrants are not required to disclose inert ingredients in pesticide products to the department, it is not possible to determine how many pesticide products may contain a PFAS substance as an inert ingredient at this time. In addition to the estimated 2,050 pesticide products mentioned, it is possible that a significant number of additional pesticide products could also be canceled for use in Minnesota based on their inert ingredients. To estimate the exact number of pesticide products impacted by this bill, the MDA would require information on inert ingredients to be submitted as a condition of registration for all pesticide products. However, for the purposes of this fiscal note, MDA assumes that registrants would not be required to submit this proprietary information yearly, but rather would certify on the registration form that their product does not contain PFAS substances annually. For further context, in 2021, there were approximately 14,000 pesticide products registered in Minnesota. This bill has the potential to cancel the use of at least 14% of pesticide products registered in Minnesota. So the reason why I asked to remove that, one, it's very expensive. Two, I'm not a fan of growing government. I've said it before, we're in a recession. We should be watching how our tax dollars are used. We should be more careful to make sure that we're working with our farmers. And so I just respectfully ask members to support this amendment. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Carter. Additional discussion to the A3 amendment. Lead Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I support the Harder amendment. I think this is an extremely important provision in the bill, maybe the most important, and I'll have more to say about it on my amendment as well, but this change could have a really big impact on what is available for farmers to use, and also a big challenge on the department in how they're going to test and come up with the results of this. So I stand in support of the Harder amendment.
Thank you, Lead Anderson. Any additional comments or questions to the A3 amendment? Representative Bang.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As in the previous amendment that we just adopted, it extends the date of the prohibition on pesticides that contain PFAS. And the purpose of that really was to allow the department to give them time to evaluate the pesticides that could fit that category. And so I think after we hear from the department on what that looks like, I think we can consider whether to take out the inert. I think for now it might be too early to decide, and so I ask members to not support the amendment.
Okay, a roll call being requested. We will take the roll on the A3 amendment.
Chair Purcell.
No.
Purcell, no. Representative Vang.
No.
Vang, no. Lead Anderson.
Anderson, aye.
Anderson, aye. Representative Cha.
No.
Cha, no. Representative Frederick.
No.
Frederick, no. Representative Hansen.
No.
Hansen, no. Representative Ream.
No.
Ream, no. Representative Santamura.
No.
Santamura, no. Representative Tabke.
No.
Tabke, no. Representative Burkle.
Burkle, aye.
Burkle, aye. Representative Harder.
Aye.
Harder, aye. Representative Jacob?
Jacob, aye.
Jacob, aye. And Representative Nelson?
Aye.
Nelson, aye.
Seeing 5 ayes and 8 nays, the amendment is not adopted. And we will move on to the A5 amendment. Is this your amendment, Representative Nelson?
Yes, it is.
Okay, please move the amendment and tell us about it, please.
Okay. The A5 amendment is I would move that for adoption. And the A5 amendment, there's been some changes to reporting and reviews and audits and all of this around grain buying. And there's some small, there were some changes that we had done, I believe it was a year ago or maybe it was 2 years ago now, that had increased the limit of it because it put some undue burden on some small elevators or small grain purchasers. Purchasing under about $1 million worth of grain. And because of, really it came down to how they purchased the grain. If they purchased it with cash or a certified check, a cashier's check, those were all fine. They were exempt from this. But if they gave it a personal check or a business check, they fell back under the need of having an audit or a review. And these are quite expensive. And for a small company, it really put a lot of pressure on them, a lot of financial stress. It's about, I'm understanding, about $7,000 to do an audit, kind of minimum. And one of the other challenges of an audit is it's taking a look at the financials, but you know, you're almost a year late on looking at somebody's financials. And if somebody is in a, you know, grain purchaser is in a maybe a bad position, a year back is really too far out to really have a good idea. You know, in a small, you know, especially a small town, or, you know, oftentimes you know that if there's somebody having difficulty paying their bills or whatever, and so this would just really kind of clarify that an audit is not required, you know, in the or it's including, you know, allowing a personal check or a business check to be able to allow for an audit or exemption of the audit. And, you know, and it's for grain buyers that are purchasing less than $1 million worth of grain. So it's really a pretty small group that it's affecting. But at the same time, this is a group that is, you know, being triggered by an audit. It's a very significant cost for them as well, and putting really a lot of pressure on them. So I would hope that this could be considered a friendly amendment, and I would encourage its adoption.
Thank you, Representative Nelson. Other discussion or questions to the A5 amendment? Seeing none, Representative Vang.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Nelson, for your amendment. Although it is a simple amendment, and I hear you on additional possible burden for the grain elevators, but with what we've been talking throughout session with what happens to farmers when a grain elevator fails, and we need to be able to maintain or increase a certain level of accountability, and I think with your amendment, it increases the exemptions from that. You know, I'm happy to have more conversations as, you know, in the previous amendment we adopted, looks at how we can continue to have those resolutions moving forward. And so for now, I will ask members to not support the amendment.
All right. Thank you, Representative Vang. And all in favor of adopting the A5 amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay.
Nay.
Nay. And the amendment is not adopted. The next amendment before us is the A6 amendment, and I believe that is brought by Representative Burkle. Would you like to move your amendment, and please describe it?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I'd like to move the A6 amendment. This amendment would delete Section 33 on page 52 on the Board of Animal Health language. Just for some context, for over a century, the Board of Animal Health has had the mission to work with producers and veterinarians, other agencies, to eradicate diseases such as pseudorabies, brucellosis, mycoplasmas, bovine tuberculosis. And the Board continues to monitor animal health in Minnesota by conducting surveillance testing for diseases like chronic wasting disease, avian influenza in poultry and scrapie. And sheep, it's constantly preparing to respond to animal disease events by conducting emergency planning exercises and improving our ability to track livestock in the state. So we heard in testimony when this bill was heard that the board also has jurisdiction over quarantines and if necessary, depopulation of farms. And it's really important to understand that members of the Board of Animal Health really have to have a deep understanding of the livestock and poultry industries in the state to do their job effectively. So the mission of the board is to protect the health of the state's domestic animal population through education and cooperation with veterinarians and with producers and owners and communities. So with that, Madam Chair, I'd like to ask a roll call vote.
Thank you. Representative, a roll call vote being requested. We will have a roll call vote. Any other discussion to the bill, Lead Anderson? I'm sorry, to the A6 amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I stand in full support of the Burkle Amendment, and I would remind committee members that Representative Burkle has actually been experienced in bird flu a couple of years back, I think 3 years probably, maybe it's 2015. He had a flock that went down and worked with the Board of Animal Health, and his experience is key, I think, in giving us advice on how he would structure the board, and I think the feeling is that the way the board is structured currently is a good way for it. And when the bill was heard in committee here, as I recall, there were several witnesses who got up there and spoke against the language to change the board As I recall, nobody spoke in favor of it. So again, I would strongly support the Burkle amendment to maintain the Board of Animal Health with its current structure, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Lead Anderson. Other discussion to the bill from, to the amendment from members? Representative Bang?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Burkle, for the amendment. I truly respect and value the work of the Board of Animal Health. They do a tremendous job for the agriculture community, and, you know, I'm definitely open to continue on working on the language, but this amendment completely deletes it. And so with that, I will ask members to not support the amendment.
A roll call being requested. We will take a roll call vote on the A6 amendment.
Chair Purcell?
No.
Representative Vang?
No.
Representative Vang, no. And then Chair Purcell was no. Lead Anderson?
Anderson, aye.
Anderson, aye. Representative Cha?
No.
Cha, no. Representative Frederick? No. Frederick, no. Representative Hansen?
No.
Hansen, no. Representative Ream?
Ream, no.
Ream, no. Representative Sensor Murrah?
No.
Sensor Murrah, no. Representative Tabke?
No.
Tabke, no. Representative Burkle?
Burkle, aye.
Burkle, aye. Representative Harder?
Aye.
Harder, aye. Representative Jacob?
Jacob, aye.
Jacob, aye. Representative Nelson?
Aye.
Nelson, aye.
Seeing five ayes and eight nays, the amendment is not agreed to. The next amendment before us is the A10 amendment. Lead Anderson, is this your amendment? If you'd like to move it and describe it.
Well, the A10? Yes, Madam Chair, it is. Did we skip the A8?
The A8 has been withdrawn.
Oh, okay. We thought it might be, but just wanted to make sure.
Yes.
The A10, I think, has a place in this bill, Madam Chair and Representative Vang, Chair Vang. We talked about depredation by deer to some of the farms really throughout the state, and there was a concern about not having enough funding to cover a program such as that, which would have a maximum of $150,000 per year, a maximum claim per farmer of $750 per claim. And the area where I would take the funding from is a total of $300,000, and I found a perfect place for it, and that is the, now I can't find it. The coordinator of climate-related activities and services in the Department of Ag for a total of $300,000. And the reason I looked at that was I serve on the Sustainable Infrastructure Committee, and we heard many bills in that committee where we're setting up departments here at the state to be able to access and work with all of the federal money coming in, the Inflation Reduction Act, the IJAA, whatever it was. And I suspect that the Department of Ag could go for a couple of years without funding this position. That again, it would be a coordinator of climate-related activities and services, and one of the job's major items would be seeking federal funds. And again, we have a lot of that coming in the coming years, looking after federal grants. And in fact, we heard on the floor today talking about the nursing home situation. There are bills that actually provide grant money to apply for grants. And it just seems to me that we're kind of the tail chasing the dog here and trying to line up to procure all of these grants. So anyway, what this amendment does is take that funding and put it into a very comprehensive deer depredation program. And I do want to take a second, and this came to me last night. It was not asked for. It was sent to me, if I can find it here, on social media. And it was a message from somebody. Her name is Beth. And she writes, "Dear Paul, Andy and I are having serious deer problems this winter. Andy contacted the DNR, and they came out to the farm. They are destroying our livestock feed. The DNR said there was no programs available at the county level to help in any way. Do you know of any programs at the state level, either for compensation or assistance for freestanding panels to keep them out of our hay and to ripping into our silage piles? I understand the deer are hungry, but we need to be proactive and preserve feed for our cattle, too. Any information would be appreciated. We'd appreciate the help. And, you know, that's coming from a real farm family trying to make their feed supply last through the winter. And I think this is a problem that is a growing problem. So I would move that the A-12 amendment, or the A-10, I believe it is. Yep. I'm sorry. Not a whole pile of them here. The A-10. And put this funding into the deer depredation program with a cap, a maximum cap, with $300,000 for the next 2 years, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Lead Anderson. Additional discussion to the A-10 amendment. Excuse me. Representative Burkle and then Representative Jacob.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to speak in favor of the Anderson Amendment. I've had the same situation up north in Kitson and Roseau counties, particularly the last two, 3 years. We've had more and more incidents of farmers calling in saying they have deer depredating their feed. I'm surprised that the DNR did not have that money. I was able to procure some fence panels for folks 2 years ago up north to kind of fence off some of their hay. But there's a need for a program like this, especially in the circumstance now where we're not allowing any deer feeding in those zones up there due to CWD. We've got more and more deer congregating on farms and just tearing into hay and silage piles up there. So I'd speak in favor of the Anderson Amendment.
Thank you, Representative Burkle. Representative Jacob.
Thank you, Chair Purcell. Yeah, I would speak in favor too. Personally, my own farm, it's 90% surrounded by wildlife management area. Many times I've seen as many as 70 deer roaming across my fields, destroying crops. But it's not just myself. It's our entire township, our entire, the majority of our county. My township is more than 75% owned by the DNR. And one of the further problems that we're having is the rate at which the DNR, the crop plot feed plots that have been taken out of production in the last 5 years due to the insecticide limitations on the treated seed. So those deer are all turning into predators on the surrounding farmland. The DNR is not feeding them anymore. This is just gravely needed. And the solutions that they've offered us are things like what they call fire pots. And they're just, it's a machine that takes in LP fuel and fires off every about 30 minutes to sound like a shotgun, and the deer just very quickly get used to it. But I mean, that's not even a Band-Aid fix for the real problem. So I mean, this is it's just very needed. So I plead with you, please.
Thank you, Representative Jacob. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just think what's going to happen when there are fewer hunters because of chronic wasting disease and they stop hunting.
Additional discussion to the A-10 amendment. Representative Nelson.
I think I would support this as well. We've had, in years past, the DNR has had money. Got a neighbor that he's got a fencing around his feedlot, but he's, or not his feedlot, his feed pile. And, or it's supposed to be going up, but with the snow this winter, they haven't been able to complete it. And I know he'd been on the list for about 5 or 6 years and, reapplying and trying to get finances from the DNR. It's a cost share program. It's not 100%, but it's an issue. And, with feed piles, farmers wanting to protect their investment, but also, they're in Pine County and in an area there, there is a feeding ban. And so we can't be feeding deer. So some of our neighbors that maybe typically had been feeding, maybe 5 or 10 deer, well, those deer this winter are looking for feed. Now there's hundreds going to my neighbor's feed pile, and that's congregating deer. So this is a real issue that, could be limited in, by some funding for there's depredation, whether it's some fencing or things like that. So I think it is something that support and can support the wild herd.
Thank you, Representative Nelson. Additional comments to the A10, Lead Anderson.
Well, depending on what the chair says about the amendment, I would request a roll call if she's not in favor of it. But again, I would just tell members, we're talking about a Department of Agriculture Climate Implementation Coordinator on one hand, and on the other, helping real farmers who have real problems with their real livestock feed, trying to feed their real livestock. So I would ask for a green vote on the amendment, the A10 amendment.
Thank you. Lead Anderson, a roll call being requested. We will take a roll call. Any additional discussion to the A10 amendment? I will just chime in that what I know about the having that position, because the idea is that there could be these federal funds coming. I wish there was more money in our budget target overall, but also especially for soil health. That's definitely a place where I am hopeful we could get some of these federal funds, and if we had a coordinator person, they could help that get to real farmers. I take a little exception with the using of the word real farmers so many times. Farming is quite varied in our state, and lots of folks deal with deer predation. So I wish there was more funding, and I hear the need, and just I myself think that that's a really important coordinator role to keep in our budget.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative Anderson.
Madam Chair, I just want to clarify. I didn't intend by saying real farmers. I just meant that these are real people having a problem. I didn't mean to infer anything about what a real farmer was, just that these are real people having a real problem. Okay.
Thank you. So noted. Representative Vang.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Anderson, for the amendment. I know we've had a couple of conversations about this, and we've also heard compelling stories from farmers impacted by crop damage by deer. And thank you, Representative Jacob, for sharing your story too. I think the bottom line for me is really I don't want this to be costly to future tax-paying dollars. I know that Representative Anderson, I recognize that you did limit it to $300,000, but I don't think that's the actual cost of compensating farmers impacted by deer. And I think there are resources out there currently federally in terms of crop insurance that can be more sufficient in protecting farmers from these sorts of situations. And so I would ask members to not support the amendment.
Okay, a roll call having been requested, the clerk will take the roll.
Chair Purcell.
No.
Purcell, no. Representative Vang.
No.
Vang, no. Lead Anderson.
Anderson, aye.
Anderson, aye. Representative Cha.
No.
Cha, no. Representative Frederick. Excused. Representative Hansen?
No.
Hansen, no. Representative Ream?
No.
Ream, no. Representative Sensor Mura?
No.
Sensor Mura, no. Representative Tabke?
No.
Tabke, no. Representative Burkle?
Burkle, aye.
Burkle, aye. Representative Harder?
Aye.
Harder, aye. Representative Jacob?
Jacob, aye.
Jacob, aye. Representative Nelson?
Aye.
Nelson, aye.
With 5 ayes, 7 nays, and 1 excused, the amendment is not adopted. The next amendment is the A11 amendment. Representative Burkle, is this your amendment? If you would move it and describe it, please, for the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I move the A11 amendment. This amendment, whether by oversight or on purpose, would put funding back in place for these folks were missed, but the Poultry Association, Livestock Breeders Association, Northern Crops Institute, Horticulture Society, as we heard earlier, Center for Rural Policy and Development, Turf Seed Council, and the Green Team were all overlooked in this budget, and my amendment would reinstate their funding, and it takes, if you look at page 8 in the Delete All, lines 3 through 8, it would take it from the greenhouse funding that is in in the bill, $500,000 each year for the farm-scale winter greenhouse research and development money. A bill which we heard in committee, and I think from my perspective, just wasn't quite ready for prime time. So these are folks that have been funded for decades and done great work in Minnesota for agriculture in Minnesota, and I'd really like to see their funding reinstated. Thank you.
Thank you. Additional discussion to the A11.
Madam Chair, I'd like to request a roll call.
Oh, please. Thank you. A roll call being requested. There will be a roll call. Additional discussion to the A11 amendment. Excuse me. Representative Tabke.
Madam Chair, thank you. So the item being deleted is my bill, the farm-scale winter greenhouse. Just to remind everybody that what this is taking and working on the first step for diversifying our food resources that we can have here in Minnesota. This is something that's been used really successfully in other places. And what it will do is give additional food supply chain resources to Minnesota so we don't have to rely on California and South America and other places across the world in order to get our food around leafy greens and broccolis and cauliflowers and those kinds of things that we can grow here in Minnesota throughout the winter. So I just encourage everyone to please vote no on the amendment, because this is a really good thing that will help Minnesota's food resources into the future.
Thank you. Lead Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, this is one of the most surprising parts of the bill. I've been around for a while, and we've always funded these folks. $2,000 for the poultry folks, we can't afford that with a $52 million billion budget, $18 billion surplus. $18,000 for the Livestock Breeders Association. I mean, this is, you know, in the overall scheme of things, that's not a lot of money, and Representative Burkle found a place to fund these because we have to find offsetting funding someplace, and I think this funding is going to be in the Senate bill. I mean, we're kind of playing games here, I think. You know, when these folks found out, I think they're all surprised that they weren't in this bill, because they've been in here for 20 years. I'm just guessing on that. But one of the guys wrote to me today. His name is John, chair of the Livestock Breeders Association. And here's some of the things they do, livestock breeders who are asking for $18,000 in each of the next 2 years. They have 2,500 members. They are represented folks that have beef, dairy, horses, swine, sheep, goats, and poultry. The money is used mainly for supporting livestock youth of Minnesota, the youth who are working with livestock. These folks manage the 4-H auction in the 4-H Dairy Showcase at the State Fair. Their board members, by the way, donate their times to these activities. They're also involved in the Minnesota Beef Expo. They help to train judges for county fair judging, and also ag in the classroom. They also work with youth media training. And we're saying no to these folks. Support the Burkle Amendment.
Additional comments about the A11 amendment from members? Representative Burkle.
Just quickly. Thank you, Madam Chair. I just, you know, we talked about good work, and I don't want to dismiss that maybe farm-scale winter greenhouses have some benefit down the road. We could talk about that down the road. But what we're talking about here is a group of people that have done research in Minnesota for decades, like I said, and we spent, I don't know how much time in committee talking about cover crops and Kernza and perennial wheat, and these are the folks that came up with those products and those crops. We actually tasted those Kernza flakes in committee. So I'm just surprised that we'd spend $500,000 on farm scale greenhouses and let these people languish without funding. That's all I got to say. Thank you.
Seeing no other member comments, Representative Vang.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Burkle, for the amendment. It's not easy to make these types of decisions, especially with the target that we have. However, I think as we continue to talk with the Senate on our budget bill, I am open to moving the numbers around. But for now, we have a starting point that I would like to maintain as is. For the time being, I would like for these organizations to make their case with us as we have these discussions. for me, I'm only one person. I only know as much as I know, and I'm limited by the four corners of my office. And so I do hope that these organizations feel that they can come to me and members of the committee to make their case about the work that they do. Some of these things I don't know too much about, quite frankly, and I think thank you, Representative Burkle, for bringing these organizations to light so I can better understand the work that they do and for sharing that. But for now, we have a starting point, and I said that I am open to moving the numbers, but so for now, I'll ask members to oppose the amendment.
A roll call being requested on the A11 amendment. The clerk will take the roll.
Chair Purcell.
No.
Representative Vang.
No.
Vang, no. sorry. Lee Anderson.
Anderson, aye.
Anderson, aye. Representative Cha.
No.
Cha, no. Representative Frederick. Absent. Representative Hansen.
No.
Hansen, no. Representative Ream.
No.
Ream, no. Representative Spencer Mura.
No.
Spencer Murrow, no. Representative Tabke?
No.
Tabke, no. Representative Burkle?
Burkle, aye.
Burkle, aye. Representative Harder?
Aye.
Harder, aye. Representative Jacob?
Jacob, aye.
Jacob, aye. Representative Nelson?
Aye.
Nelson, aye.
With 5 ayes, 7 nays, and 1 excuse, the amendment is not adopted. The next amendment before us is the A13 amendment. Is this Representative Anderson? When you are ready, please move the A13 amendment and introduce it to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to move the A13 for possible inclusion in the omnibus ag bill.
Thank you, Representative Anderson, to your amendment.
Thank you again, Madam Chair. What this amendment does, it strikes two lines in this bill. It's section 14, and it deals with the testing and the banning of pesticides that may contain PFAS. And have a series of questions, Madam Chair. I'd like to have somebody from the Department of Ag come up and answer some questions about the testing of these chemicals.
If someone from the Department of Agriculture can make your way to the stand, thank you. And once you arrive, please identify yourself for the record.
Excuse me, Madam Chair, for the record, my name is Dan Stoddard. I'm Assistant Director for Environmental Programs for Pesticides and Fertilizers at the Department of Ag.
Thank you, Mr. Stoddard. Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Mr. Stoddard, the cost of this program, the PFAS program here, is just about $1.7 million, I think it's $1.688 million. And it's to go to the MDA to identify and regulate pesticides containing perfluoro and polyfluoroalkyl substances, or PFAS. Just wondering where that number came from. Did you confer with fiscal staff or MDA, or how did that number arrive at $1.688 million?
Mr. Stoddard.
Yeah, Madam Chair, Representative Anderson. So the bill basically cancels PFAS. And so internally, for pesticides that contain PFAS, and so internally what we did was we developed a fiscal note ourselves. We reviewed the workload that we thought it would take to actually collect information on it and then cancel it, and came up with that estimate.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I assume, are you also taking into account the revenue that the department would lose by potentially not having as many chemicals registered?
Mr. Stoddard.
Madam Chair, Representative Anderson, yes, we did consider lost revenue. Okay. We did assume that there would be some replacement products, and so it's really hard to know what the lost revenue would be, but we did, I think, I forgot the exact number, but we estimated some lost revenue.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Stoddard, again, we're talking a pretty sizable sum of money here. How would you use those funds to test, bearing in mind that the EPA has only validated one test for detecting PFAS? How would you utilize the funding?
Mr. Stoddard.
Madam Chair, Representative Anderson, so the way that we assumed we would proceed is that we would make it a condition of registration for companies to inform us whether or not their products contain PFAS. And so we would work with the registrants to have them provide us information on whether or not they thought there would be PFAS in either an active ingredient or in an inert.
Representative Anderson?
So my understanding you to be saying that the burden of proof is going to be on the chemical manufacturers themselves?
Mr. Stoddard.
Madam Chair, Representative Anderson, our thought was that we would work with the registrants. We do have a process in place already where we work with registrants. We have a relationship with them. They have to develop and support, develop and provide information upon request. And so generally speaking, yeah, we would count on the registrants, and then if we needed to, we would try to do some additional work to validate what they submit.
Representative Anderson.
And Mr. Stoddard, could you elaborate a little bit on what kind of testing would be available? The only one that I'm aware of is an oily matrix test. Is that what you would be using? And how many compounds could be tested using that oily matrix test?
Mr. Stoddard.
So, Madam Chair, Representative, most of the work that we anticipate would actually be working with the registrants. We would not be testing a lot of products. There might be some additional follow-up testing. I think we talked about developing analytical methods, but there's really uncertainty at this point on exactly how we would proceed.
Representative Anderson.
Madam Chair, it's really hard for me to hear totally, so if you could speak into the mic a little bit closer, sure. Then I could hear your entire answer.
Madam
you
Chair, I think I'm going to ask Dr. Raj Mann to come up and provide some additional information on that. So.
Thank you. Please identify yourself when you reach the front table for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And for the record, my name is Raj Mann, and I'm a section manager at the Minnesota Department of Agriculture, Pesticide and Fertilizer Management Division.
Thank you, Mr. Mann. And Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just repeat my question. Being there's only one test available to check for PFAS in pesticides, how would you go about doing it, either the department or the actual companies themselves?
Mr. Mann.
So, Madam Chair, we will be utilizing only those methods, those are available. We can work with our laboratory also to develop additional methods if possible. Right now, we can use only the one method you are talking about.
And Madam Chair, if I may comment. So again, we anticipate that most of this effort will be working directly with the registrants. The lab component that we included in the fiscal note would be some validation sampling. It would not be a large amount of sampling, and it wouldn't be sampling specifically to determine whether or not a product had PFAS initially. It would be more or less follow-up sampling to validate whether or not any products that remained did not have PFAS.
Representative Anderson.
But I'd repeat my question. If the only test available, validated by the EPA, I believe can test 28 compounds out of some 9,000 possible compounds. How can we verify whether a compound has PFAS or not?
Mr. Stoddard?
Madam Chair, Representative Anderson, I think there's a lot of unknowns at this point. So this is really a new issue for us, and we are not sure exactly what the process is going to be to determine whether or not products have PFAS. So our initial thoughts is that we work with the registrants. We have a condition of registration that they need to confirm to us that they do not have PFAS in any way in their product. And then there would be some additional sampling that we planned on in the future for products that remain in channels of trade to determine whether or not PFAS would be present in those. Our lab does not currently have capacity. We anticipate that we would develop that capacity, but the exact methods, I'm not sure. This is something that would have to unfold over time.
Dr. Mann, did you have anything to add? I didn't want to skip you.
No, I do not. Okay. I think what okay. Mr. Stoddard said.
Thank you. Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So in your opinion, if we can only test just a few of these compounds, And according to the language in Section 14, which reads, the commissioner must not register under Section 18B.26, a pesticide product that contains, let's just say PFAS, as an active or an inert ingredient. So if you or the company can't verify that a product does or does not contain PFAS, am I correct in saying you can't register it then under the wording of this section?
Mr. Stoddard.
Madam Chair, Representative Anderson, so we would approach this with the understanding that the companies that are making pesticides, including their inerts, have a very good understanding of the content of those products. They have chemists, they have analytical chemists, who should be able to determine whether or not these products have any PFAS in the pesticide. That is the approach that we anticipate that we would take. And then over time, we also anticipate that we would learn a lot more. We would have some understanding from EPA and from others whether or not certain kinds of inerts have these compounds. We already have an idea on active ingredients that have the compounds. And so I think we put that in our fiscal note right now. We estimate about 85 active ingredients have these products. And that could be as many as, excuse me, have PFAS. That could be as many as 2,000 products that have this. We do not know much about inerts, and so we would have to work with the companies to have them tell us whether or not they believe inerts are present. And then over time, we anticipate that we would get more information on the inerts. EPA does maintain information on inerts. There's 5,000 inerts that they register, and hopefully we'd be able to get more information from them also.
Final follow-up, Representative Anderson?
No, that's all the questions I have for them.
Thank you. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Mr. Stoddard. So essentially, you're trusting but verifying. Is that correct?
Mr. Stoddard.
Madam Chair, Representative Hansen, yes, in a way. I guess initially we would work with the registrants, but this is what we always do. We work with the registrants and ask them to disclose the contents of their products. And then over time, we anticipate that, again, we would learn more and be able to have more refined questions and a better understanding of which inerts have PFAS.
Thank you. Additional questions or comments to the A13 amendment? Lead Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just finished my questions. Now, I'm just going to tell folks that the EPA subjects all new pesticide products to human health, environmental review, and testing to satisfy the standards for their registration. And some of those tests can include, depending on the type of pesticide, product chemistry, physical and chemical properties, acute, subacute, and chronic testing, efficacy testing, ecological testing, environmental, applicator exposure, and even in some cases, residue chemistry. And all pesticides, I repeat, all pesticides, including those formulated with fluorinated chemistry, must already be registered by the EPA prior to applying for and receiving state registration from the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. And before pesticides can even enter commerce in Minnesota, they must already be deemed safe by the EPA. EPA has a federal label, and they deem these products safe, relatively safe, if used according to label requirements. Now, in doing further research, this has been tried before in the state of Maryland. In fact, it was at this session in the state of Maryland. Language was introduced to pretty much do the same thing, require manufacturers of pesticides to submit data that proves a pesticide product does not contain PFAS prior to registration in that state. And it appears that when they found out the narrow testing available for that, PFAS in pesticides, which is different than checking for PFAS in drinking water. It's a different test, and that test for drinking water is not approved for pesticide testing. Maryland went back, and they pulled back and redrafted their bill, and their legislation basically says now they're going to study further and whether to determine if the state can or cannot validate a method of testing, and that's in the state of Maryland. So with that, Madam Chair, I think this is a big item, a big deal. It could affect literally hundreds of chemicals in Minnesota. And of course, we all want chemical use that's safe. And when they're labeled, registered, and have that label, and if they're used in a safe manner, which farmers and others do, they are deemed safe by the EPA. And I don't think this is ready for prime time yet. We don't have enough testing. You know, the only matrix can test for 28 out of possible 9,000 PFAS substances. And I think we need to slow down on this. And I would ask for a green vote and a roll call on this amendment, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Lead Anderson. Additional comments, questions, et cetera, to the A13 amendment? A roll call being requested. The clerk will take the... I'm sorry. Representative Bang.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Representative Anderson, for your amendment. You know, your amendment eliminates Representative Hansen's bill on PFAS. And as we've been talking throughout session, some of the hot topics is on PFAS. They're known as forever chemicals in our everyday use and in our daily livelihoods. And I think this is still a worthy bill to consider, and this amendment would take that away. So I will ask members to oppose it.
Thank you. Now that a roll call has been requested, the clerk will take the roll on the A13 amendment.
Chair Purcell.
No.
Purcell, no. Representative Vang.
No.
Vang, no. Lead Anderson.
Anderson, aye.
Anderson, aye. Representative Shaw.
No.
Shaw, no. Representative Frederick.
No.
Frederick, no. Representative Hansen.
No.
Hansen, no. Representative Ream.
No.
Ream, no. Representative Centimura.
No.
Centimura, no. Representative Tadke.
No.
Tadke, no. Representative Burkle.
Burkle, aye.
Burkle, aye. Representative Harder.
Aye.
Harder, aye. Representative Jacob.
Jacob, aye.
Jacob, aye. Representative Nelson.
Aye.
Nelson, aye.
With 5 ayes and 8 nays, the amendment is not adopted. And the final amendment I have before us is the A14 amendment. Representative Anderson, is this also your amendment?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Would you care to move the A14 amendment and describe it for the committee, please?
I move the A14, Madam Chair, for inclusion in the Ag Bill, and hope that the third time might be the charm. Anyway. The A14, again, we're trying to work on and come up with some compromises on the Board of Animal Health, which, again, is a very key organization within the ag budget here. And we strongly feel that livestock people be fully represented, along with veterinarians on the board. And this amendment would increase the number of members from six up to seven, and with that newer 7th member being a companion animal veterinarian. And that is the amendment, Madam Chair, and I would ask for support on the amendment.
Thank you, Lead Anderson. Additional discussion to the A14 amendment or question? Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Anderson, we talked on the floor, and last evening, Chair Vang and Commissioner Peterson and I had talked. This is my bill. I am open to doing compromise here of 8 members, 1 per congressional district. You know, I know that that's not probably as far as you want to go, but it's a little lower than I'd like to go. But I think, you know, the executive director for the Board of Animal Health left this week. I believe there does need to be reform. I think we could meet in the middle on this. You know, and I think it could be a bipartisan thing. I know that folks want to make sure that there's competency in the board. I want that as well. But I also want to make sure that we've got a balance and a regional diversity. I do think that people in the 4th and 5th congressional district can add value to the board. And so, you know, I'm willing to work on this And that would be my commitment to you and to the chair and to the commissioner if we did that at 8 and I'll work out some of the details as well. But I'll defer to the chair.
Representative Bang. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Anderson, for the amendment. I know we've had a couple conversations on this, and I, like Representative Hansen said, I'm open to working on this language, So for now, I'll ask members to oppose it, but Representative Anderson, I'm committed to working with you.
Seeing no other discussion, Lead Anderson.
We might as well go for a roll call on this one, too. And I appreciate Representative Hansen's willingness to work on this. We did talk about it. And I think we'll reach agreement and one that satisfies all of us that are concerned about animal welfare in Minnesota. So thank you.
Thank you. A roll call being requested. The clerk will take the roll on the A14 amendment.
Chair Purcell?
No.
Purcell, no. Representative Vang?
No.
Vang, no. Lead Anderson.
Anderson, aye.
Anderson, aye. Representative Cha?
No.
Cha, no. Representative Frederick?
No.
Frederick, no. Representative Hansen?
No.
Hansen, no. Representative Ream?
Ream, no.
Ream, no. Representative Sensor Mura?
No.
Sensor Mura, no. Representative Tabke?
No.
Tabke, no. Representative Burkle?
Burkle, aye.
Burkle, aye. Representative Harder?
Aye.
Harder, aye. Representative Jacob?
Jacob, aye.
Jacob, aye. Representative Nelson?
Aye.
Nelson, aye.
With 5 ayes and 8 nays, the A14 amendment is not adopted. I do not have any other amendments to the bill. So now we can move on to discussion of House File 20.
Madam Chair, I just want to confirm, is there the A15?
The A15 has been withdrawn.
Okay.
Sorry, I should have mentioned that. So now we can discuss House File 2278 as amended. Discussion to the bill. Lead Anderson.
We have to have some discussion. Well, the bill has some good things, and I think it has some things that we could work on to improve. Maybe some of these amendments change some numbers, but earlier we had it contains about $19 million in fee increases. The department has increased the tax on fertilizer, and it doesn't seem like a lot of money individually, like 60 cents a ton, I think, is what it's going to go up to. But it amounts to over $1 million over a two-year period. And is there ever a good time to raise a fee or a price on farmers when they're facing, you know, late spring, high fertilizer prices? There maybe never is, but I don't think this is the right time either. Also, increase in every fee application, or I should say every permit and permit application or license application, 5% or $5 surcharge on those also at the department. So some fee increases, which I think are surprising, in light of the, we always talk about the budget surplus, but I've enjoyed working with Chair Vang and Chair Purcell and their vice chair, I should say, and working with the committee. Ag is a passion of mine, and hopefully we can make the bill better and make agriculture continue to keep it strong here in the state of Minnesota. So I pledge to do that and work with all of you and as the bill moves forward.
Thank you, Lee Anderson. Additional comments to the bill as amended? Representative Cha?
Well, it's been a great session being here in the Ag Committee and, you know, learning from all of you on both sides of the aisles and everything that's been discussed in here. I think we can always do better, but, you know, we come together in this legislation session to do what we can to improve agriculture in Minnesota and to create opportunities for the future of farmers of Minnesota. And I am proud to be a member of this committee and serve with all of you. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Cha. Additional comments, questions? I will just echo what Lead Anderson and Representative Cha expressed. This has been a wonderful learning opportunity, and I tell everybody I know that this is the best committee. So thank you all for being here, and the folks in the audience who are keeping an eye on us doing our work as well. Representative Vang.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First, I want to thank the staff on the committee for their hard work. They are truly the A in the Ag team. Every decision we make as members, staff puts in twice and triple the work behind the scenes to follow through. So thank you to Amanda Rudolph, Molly Peterson, Colby Sullivan, Ken Savory, Matthew Salser, and Zach Collins, and also Mark Neasley. Agriculture remains to be an important sector of Minnesota. I hope that stakeholders find a piece of your contributions here in this bill, from big ag to small ag, rural to urban, environment to economic development. I also want to thank you, Lead Anderson, for your hard work and dedication to this committee. And I have great respect for you, and a lot of what I learned in agriculture have come from you. So thank you so much for your contributions to this committee as well. And with that, Madam Chair, I ask for member support on this bill.
With that, Representative Vang renews her motion for House File 2278 as amended to be adopted, and where is it going? To Ways and Means Committee, and that the staff is directed to make any technical corrections as needed. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, say nay.
Nay.
No.
The ayes have it. The bill is passed and on its way to Ways and Means. We do not have a next meeting scheduled right now. So as far as we know, this may be it for the session. So thank you, everyone, and Madam Chair, and we are now adjourned.